Hello, we're the Sticky Bun Boys. I'm Michael.
And I am not. Welcome back to the podcast. This week was the quarterfinals. We're getting close now. It was pastry week in the tent. So naturally, the bakers will be making, you know, lasagna in the signature, deep fried Mars bar in the tentacle, and painting a portrait of their favourite ex's grandmother in the showstopper.
At this point, that wouldn't be a surprise, but we are getting into that later on. Anyway, we also actually this week have a new segment to try out on you all, you lucky things.
We'd probably better get down to it. We'll be back after this.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great, too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Okay, Michael, I'm ready for it this week. Straight in, I've got the timer on my phone.
Finally.
30 seconds, last week's recap.
Okay, so it was custard week in the tent, and they had to make floating meringues on creme anglaise. Oh, it's a nice little...
I'm showing you the timer now. It's a horrible way it counts down like
not
that.
I quite like the little rings. Anyway, it was custard week. They had to make floating meringues. Sandra's desperate handshake threw the kitchen sink at it. Didn't quite work out. Janusz should have
left.
Got a handshake. Really?
Yes.
Oh, God. Then they made... what was the technical? What was the technical?
I don't know. What was it?
What was the technical? Custard week's technical.
Up. That was custard week, everybody.
Genuinely, what was the custard week technical?
Technical was...
ice cream.
Ice cream, pistachio ice cream.
Didn't go very well. Then Kevin's cake fell apart and he went home.
Wobbly gatto,
and,
yeah.
And Shab's one?
Yes. Shabira.
Shabira. God, that was the worst recap of all time.
So we finally put a time on it. We realise we just go to mess. Anyway, this week, now, quarterfinal week, was pastry week. Also known as, how the hell is Janusz going to get a drip into this week?
He did not succeed. Poor thing. Hope he's all right. I was making a pizza while watching this, so I was a little bit distracted, so I might have missed some really crucial moments.
A pizza? Bake Off probably counts as pastry.
There was a very precious little pastry. The signature was...
I've written this down this time.
Okay.
I've been so proud. I've got the timer up. I've actually written 12 sweet volumons made from rough puff pastry in 3 hours.
It was 2 hours.
In 2 hours.
Did you notice this week Prue had like a dead albino spider hanging around her neck?
I know. I thought that because I love the fact that Prue said, I don't want to spook you as she came up to Abdul's bench. And then it's like, you're wearing a massive spider on your chest. Of course you're going to spook him.
I actually didn't mind this challenge, although it's a problem with the entire week this week. There was not enough time for any of the challenges to be done correctly. It just feels like the food producers this year were like, oh, here's a good idea for a challenge. Let's whack off 1/3 of the time you actually need to make this thing, right? 2 hours to make rough puff pastry isn't enough time.
No, and rough puff pastry and puff pastry, it's a stalwart. It's there every single year. So they've had practice in knowing how long it takes. Because the general thing with Bake Off is whatever the challenge is, you have less time than is kind of you're able to do it at home.
Right.
And you're trying to find little shortcuts. But when you take off so much time that it's actually basically impossible.
But then Maxie was doing a different... She was using room temperature butter?
Yeah, and she didn't really give any reason to why. So I don't know why she was doing that.
And it didn't really work. It's like when Argos was like... You know, like the supermarket chain. Supermarket? The high street chain,
yeah.
Argos was like, we think shops should be like this. And all other shops were like, no. It's like Max did that with rough puff pastry. She was like, I think perhaps we should try it like this. And then it just didn't work.
Yeah, because she was also using bread flour, which is very...
I thought bread flour you do use in...
You can use some.
Right.
Anyway, she probably practiced it at home and it worked. That's the thing with these challenges. You do practice it.
Gooseberry and cloudberry jam sounded like something from like a Roald Dahl book, didn't it? I don't actually know what a cloudberry is. I can't picture it. Do you know?
I know, but only because I looked it up. It looks kind of like a blackberry, but looks like a peachy colour. Never heard of it before.
Like an unripe blackberry.
Yeah, they should have talked more about that, considering they just drop it in there as if we all know what cloudberries are.
Ah, yes, cloudberry. It didn't quite work out, really, but we did get a maxi swear this week, which is very nice, in the first challenge. Congratulations to her. She did have the soggiest bottom of the lot. Bless her.
Yeah, I think with puff pastry, you often take it out a bit too early, don't you?
Well, they didn't have much chance, did they? Don't you look at me when you say that kind of thing. I was trying to be very sensible there. They were talking a lot about golden bottoms this week.
Yeah.
What do you think makes a golden bottom, David?
Oh, preparation. Preparation makes a golden bottom.
I was going to say a golden bottom is like a gold star gay, but like has never topped.
Oh, right. Michael's educating me.
Do you know what gold star gays are?
No.
Do you know what? We're just going to move on.
Let's just say Janusz is a gold star gay.
Janusz sort of is, although he's unable to make a creme pat, which is interesting.
Yeah, it's quite interesting considering Custard Week he did struggle. So then you would think that he would nail it for the next week. And what I didn't get, I think Paul mentioned it. If you're going to have a bit of a thick custard, a bit of a thick creme pat, he could have just folded in some of the cream and made it. Is that a creme chaboust?
Oh, I don't know.
That would loosen it.
He needed to slacken off his custard, didn't he?
He did,
bless
yeah.
him. He said he was going to have 12 bottoms and 20 tops, which sounds like a disappointing party for 8 of those attendees.
Unless they're golden bottoms and they can golden. Take more.
Well, he said if the bottom is golden, it's done. So perhaps he knows what a golden bottom is. Abdul, the only baker with no star baker thus far.
Oh, back to his gloves.
Did have his glove back on. He had lovely chocolatey rims this week, I thought. I really enjoyed his chocolatey rims.
I also loved his top. I really, really liked him in purple
very
this week.
Very casual. He was slacking off his bake while the judges were eating it, which doesn't seem like a very strong strategy to me.
I think sometimes the judges get annoyed if you have done something bad and you seem to think it's good, but you don't actually have to slag your bake off.
It was a bit much. Sandro was putting sugar between the folds of his rough puff pastry, which I don't quite understand. Is that like to caramelize it?
What I think so, but caramelization would happen on like externally, so I don't know what it does all in the middle. I would have thought it would stop it rising as much, which did look like that was the
case. Yeah, he did make some frisbees.
Can we talk about Sandro's desperation for like, my view on handshakes and things is the best strategy is just to try and do a good bake and please yourself, etc. Not try and second guess what the judges want and try and be obsessed with, oh, I want a handshake. It's just unlikely to work.
It's a new strategy, isn't it? Because normal people kind of just try to do their best or they might use a flavour that he likes. But now Sandro is like either throwing the kitchen sink at every single bake that he does or he's using flavours that he knows that Paul loves and Paul really likes. It didn't really work out for him. I loved it when he was piping and he had cream coming out of both ends. We've all been there before, haven't we? But he also
was that because of his leather trousers, do you think?
Leather trousers? Do you have to like talc your legs underneath them to get them off, or is that latex?
I would say with those leather trousers you'd have to talc them.
Very warm. He forgot to turn his oven on.
Yeah, they always bring this drama though. I did that in the tent. The one thing that the viewers don't realize is those ovens heat up very quickly.
Yeah, it's not
really so hard. Unless I mean they were very short on time, but it wouldn't have had such a dramatic effect.
It would have taken 3 minutes.
Yeah, they heat up so fast, those ovens.
But he still overbaked it. Even though his oven wasn't turned on, they were overbaked and they did look a bit like green frisbees, didn't they? They weren't quite what he was looking for.
They weren't pretty. I like the fact that he didn't flap though. Like one thing for Sandro is he stays in like a good mood. He seems like he's positive all the way through.
Mm. Shabira, she is going from strength to strength. She's like rising at the right time. So hers were orange and clementine vol-au-vents with clove and cardamom, lovely, and pecan praline. They looked, and that would have been the one I wanted to go for this week, I think.
Definitely. Shabira, I am just waiting. You know when someone rises to the top, like you say, there's only one way to go, you go down. But she's just staying up there. She's just floating.
And she's a relatable queen. When she was looking at her bake, she said, it's getting a bit soft now, so I'm going to quickly pop it back in. Which is good, isn't it? I mean, hopefully the other person won't notice if you just quickly slip it back in, you know? Do you know what? Actually, I'm going to say it now. This wasn't the most exciting of weeks. It was a bit flat. It's quite hard to make it feel exciting.
Yeah, and vol-au-vents, like the shittest thing you could ever get at a buffet that right. No one wants to eat anyway. They're not going to be that pretty. The highlight of this whole challenge for me was Noel talking about egg washing a priest.
That was
for some
funny.
Reason, I just found that absolutely hilarious.
Yeah, but nobody did well. I was missing Kevin. I was thinking about Baker's Gone By. I was thinking about Kevin and Mason. Imagine Rebs doing this. How great would that have been?
Yeah, so basically we're agreeing that this challenge was not very good. Let's move on to the technical, because I'm sure they'll redeem themselves there. Mm. The technical was 8 spring rolls, famously baked, with a dipping sauce and an hour and 20 minutes. Did basically the crew this week just not have enough time?
They're just cooking again. And then the perfect tent, when they were like, now, the spring rolls shouldn't have any bubbles in them. All of the ones in the perfect tent had bubbles all over them. All of them.
That was my issue as well. And also the spring rolls that they do, you don't have giant, massive spring rolls. If anyone's ever got a takeaway, they are quite small and dinky. Yes, they're not just all pastry, but they weren't really making very good spring rolls. They didn't really explain what a spring roll wrapper is, which is probably the most interesting part. Mm. It was, again, a bit of a shit challenge.
It was just a bit strange to me. And I know I've got a personal vendetta against deep fat fryers in the bake-off tent, for obvious personal reasons, but I don't like them in the tent because people don't have these at home.
No.
Like, we don't know how these deep fat fryers work.
So therefore, it's very difficult to have ever practiced with one and understand them. And everyone's just terrified of them. And then you throw in the thing only being 1 hour, 20 minutes.
It's really not enough time. And like, I mean, the deep fat fryers do add this kind of chaotic pressure. Like, it was a very tense challenge, but I just didn't feel like it was baking, personally.
You know what I was most annoyed about was the fact that Abdul's beautiful, lovely, long sleeve, very soft brush cotton purple top got splashes of oil on it. It's never going to get that
ruined,
out.
Ruined forever now. What do we think about man get out? Man, get out. Yeah.
It seems like there's been enough jokes about Monji Toot, etc., that surely people know what Monji Toot is now.
Abdul, though, very chilled the entire time. He was a bit like a stoner this week. He just kept seeing me like, oh, it's fine, dude. And like his like, and his like, his spring rolls were big. And he was like, oh, they're massive, man. Like, he was just like, maybe he was just like on Valium for the whole week.
I mean, there is a paramedic there, as we know. Maybe he'd slipped in some codeine.
Maybe that's what it was. In the judging, apparently Abdul had lovely crack, I'll say. But Janusz was missing a spring roll.
Yeah, but Janusz was also stiff with a little spring. Oh. Like when there's a little bounce or spring.
Classic.
Yeah, how did he miss it? Where did it go? But there were massive spring rolls. You could not lose them.
Elena, well, maybe he could. Maybe the golden bottom. He lost one of his golden bottom. But Elena lost one of her little big rolls in our week. Yeah. And then we ended up like, do you remember we ended up like scrolling it back on the television? We all were like, on our little group. It's like a detective thing. We saw it. It was like in the back corner of her bench. And she just like slopped it off. So perhaps he like pushed it off the bench. I don't know.
Right, here's a challenge, viewers. Someone has to go back and forensically watch the episode and try and find out where Janusz's thick spring roll went.
Because we're not going to do it.
No, we're not going to do it. Definitely not. So judging wise, because this is, honestly, they were kind of all together. I think it was quite harsh to even kind of pull them apart. But Maxi apparently was at the bottom. Third was Abdul. Second, Janusz. And first, Sandro. It kind of seems funny doing
like
that.
We could say fourth as well, because Shabira was there as well.
Exactly. Right. Showstopper. Again, I don't know if I've written this down right, because they were speaking so fast and I was trying to type. Storybook pie scene based on favourite nursery rhyme, 6 pies in 4 hours. Did I get that right?
At least 8 pies, 4 hours, and it had to be 3D, because famously you might have a 2D pie, you know? What does that even mean? Why do they keep saying 3D? Everything is 3D.
This is true. I've actually just changed to 8 pies. Not that it matters now.
You just changed it on your notes, document. To be clear. Yeah. I didn't mind this one, but 4 hours again was quite tight.
Yeah, 4 hours is a normal time to have for a showstopper, but they asked for too much. It wasn't even because sometimes the bakers do too much, but this time they were asked to do too much. And I just felt that the pastry was lacking. Like, all of their pastries, apart from Shabira, no one really got into the pastry. It was all about what they were, all the extras and all the fillings and things. And so everything's a bit disappointing.
On the flip side of that, like, pastry week is always about the insides of the pies. Like, there's only so much you can say about a hot water crust pastry.
Yeah, but at least people usually make the pastry well. Whereas this, I felt I was a bit disappointed because everything was just a bit. But they didn't get given a chance.
What would you have done this week?
I would have picked one. I would have done Abdul. Abdul picked one.
You'd
pastry,
have done Abdul.
I would have done Abdul if Michael didn't get it first. Because short crust, just picking one pastry and doing that well, like he did the sweet.
He did the sweet.
And the savoury short crust, I would have definitely done
that. Yeah, that's what I would have done. I might have done like a Pisces sculpture. Thank you for that.
Oh, that
it's
is
like a star
good.
Sign. Isn't that good? Yeah, I thought of that on top of my head, and as soon as I saw the challenge, I thought, God, I'm good.
As soon as you said that, that just reminds me, was it Dan Beasley-Harley that did, that was his downfall, he did a fish pie that looked like a fish?
He did do a fish pie, but then he also made the pastry that they hadn't asked for.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember which pastry it was, but they were like, can you do like a, say, like, do a rough puff? And he was like, here's a short crust. And they were like, no. And then he went home.
Okay. I mean, he deserves that then. deserves everything he gets. Michael, do you know what? This is so sad. When I was prepping my notes for this week, I left Kevin's name in this section. Oh. So I've just got Kevin without anything.
Gone,
really,
but never forgotten.
Oh, Kevin, you will never be forgotten.
Did you know? So I just looked at the word Abdul, who did a pirate theme. Pirate, very nice, very pleased with that. The only one having fun again. It's cool, man. Do you know like the tortoises or the turtles from Finding Nemo?
Yes.
That was Abdul this week.
With a dirty top, though, he didn't get the oil marks out. As people know, you wear the same top 2 days.
We all love a dirty top, though, especially in this house. He was making an aubergine curry with chana dal, which sounds delicious. I liked everything that he was doing this week. Did you know an aubergine's a fruit?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, works out because the fruits love aubergines. Janusz was making the very hungry sausage dog. At the end, it looked the best out of all of them, I think. It always does.
Because when we talk about the signature, his signatures looked brilliant, but were disappointing. And he brought that through to the show.
I've forgotten what they were already.
They were like these strawberry toppy bits with a little thing. And they did look the best. And again, his pies, ideas were great and they looked really, really good, but were disappointing.
Yeah, his bottom could have been soggier. He's apparently too dry.
He's had to, after being like the star. I wonder if Shabira's stolen Janusz's mojo. Because Shabira rose to the top.
Very Austin Powers of you.
Just as Janusz has started to struggle.
It's hard to maintain like a high run. You wouldn't know because you never really hit the heights. But but Janusz was at the top and kind of started to slide, whereas Shabira has kind of started at the bottom and started to rise. Like, you can't maintain it across 10 weeks of your life. It's exhausting.
But I really hope Janusz bounces back because he hasn't dampened his spirits.
No, and I don't think he was at the bottom this week. He was just kind of in the middle. At the bottom was Maxi and her spicy twinkling stars.
Filo pastry.
What are you doing? Like, what? Never. It's never gonna work, darling.
I mean, that's the one where you have to have that ridiculously long thin rolling pin, isn't it, that you have just only professional people have been doing since they were 5 years old can ever make it.
It felt to me a little bit like, and I love Maxi, like, she's done so well, and some of her flavors and some of her bakes have been incredible. She got 2-star bakers, like, she's great. It felt like this week was the week where she'd written the recipe and was thinking like, oh, I'll never get to that far, so I won't need to make this ever. Because like when you get given the recipes, the recipe requests, you write the recipes. For me, anything past week 7, I was like, well, there's no point. I'll just invent something and we'll deal with it if we get there. And it felt like she was having to deal with it because she'd got there and it wasn't quite working. Like even her spicy chicken, she was like, oh, I'll just throw raw spinach into this, which is famously wet. Into this pastry, like, she just kind of was like, well, let's see what happens.
From the start, actually, it kind of looked like she'd done that thing where you kind of give up a little bit.
Right.
It didn't look like it. It felt like she didn't have that kind of boost of energy that you need to keep on having in the tent continuously to get you through, especially when things start going a bit wrong. It just felt like she was kind of like, okay, we'll just do this.
I was really gutted for her, though, because it looked like it really did kind of affect her. Like, she looked really sad. You could tell she'd been crying off camera and stuff. I was really feeling for her. On the positive side, though, she apparently had a lovely creamy top. which is what we all want.
And it didn't look so bad. I thought, like, as it started, especially considering when she described it, I thought this is going to be a disaster. It actually looked quite good.
I love the hanging mobile of pastry stars. Like, it looked stunning. Like, I think, spoilers, well, not spoilers, you shouldn't be listening to this if you haven't watched it, but she went home. But I think she has enough to be proud of this week, as well as all those other weeks which she did so well before.
Yeah.
Gutted for her.
So another controversial thing. Last time it was a bit because Maxi didn't really put custard into her thing, but Sandro didn't really know how to make pastry.
They were like, what kind of pastry is it? And he was like, pastry.
And he was just like, oh, it's just water and flour, which isn't pastry.
And he did as well. He was like, I've got 12 pages on my recipe. It's basically a book for one bake. It's quite a short book.
Quite a short book. They just didn't look, the pastry itself looked, I mean, he was in danger this week, wasn't he? Because if you make pastry that badly, like, I think he was probably saved with the fact it looked quite good. He'd been quite,
I loved him playing with Noel, though. Making Noel eat a cherry, dusted in paprika. It shows how little Noel knows about this show, despite having presented it for like 5 years. Noel's face when he ate it, being like, oh, this is disgusting, but how do I tell him it's nice?
Like, I don't think Noel likes anyone's bakes either, though. I don't think he even pretends to enjoy the baking.
That really made me laugh. So Prue thought that Sandro's balls were cracking. They had good flavour and they were lovely, soft and dry. But they were like a sandwich, not a pie.
Yeah.
And a raw bottom. I think basically every week he does too much. I think if Sandra did 2 things less every week, he would really excel. Like, he would thrive.
Or if he was just allowed to do a cake every week. A 3-tiered stacked cake, celebration cake would be fine. So, Michael, question here. This week it really annoyed me. You finish the judging of the showstopper.
We're not going to talk about Shabira?
Shabira. Yeah, let's talk about Shabira. Then we'll do this.
Famously, the winner of this series.
Shabira.
Jack and the Beanstalk. She was making hot oil pastry. Do you know this? What is
this? No, so it's, she basically seemed like it was like hot water pastry, but instead of using lard, she uses oil. And she said it was a Malaysian thing.
I suppose it wouldn't really make a difference, really, because the lard gets...
But lard is a hard fat, so it kind of would set harder. So this might have been a softer pastry. I don't know.
I mean, anything she does, she is incredible.
Chicken rendang. Oh, I love chicken rendang.
Right? Unctuous, they said, which is a very good word. Obviously, Shabira Shabira, you smashed it. It's hard to say anything else every week because we just think you're great. So congrats to you.
Even though you still look really nervous all the time. It's like, I always feel...
That's endearing.
Yes, it is. I mean, it's very endearing. It just makes me feel nervous. And then she just smashes it.
Shall we do some speculation? I think the top three is going to be Janusz, Sandro... and Shabira, and it's Shabira's to lose.
I think, I mean, I did have Maxi in mind, so she's now gone. I think it's going to be Shabira, Sandro, and Abdul.
So we lose Janusz.
Yeah.
Because he can't drip.
Because he can't drip all the way to the final.
You can't drip in a patisserie week, can you?
No, definitely not.
So top of the week, Shabira. Bottom of the week, Maxi. RIP to her.
But what I was going to say was, why is there an advert break after judging between them sending people home? It's like the shortest little bit. There's a judging thing. And I'm sure the Americans probably have this exactly the same. The advert breaks everywhere.
Mm.
It makes me not want to watch the last bit. I was like, I'm just going to guess, and then I'm going to come here today and just hope that Michael knows.
I didn't watch the last bit.
So you didn't? Yeah, exactly. It's.
I was like, oh, I'll find out later.
I only watched for the crying, and there was some crying because Shabira was best friends with Maxi. Oh. So it's quite sad to see Shabira so happy she got Stab Acre again, but also really, really sad to see Maxi
go. Oh, bless
go.
Her heart. Like, bless them all. Like, they've all done really well, and I hope Maxi's really proud of herself because she's done a lot better than I did. Well, at least one episode better than I did.
And she got two Stab Acres. She is brilliant.
So for Stab Acres, we have two to Janusz, three to Shabira, one to Sandro, and none to Abdul. You go, Glen Coco.
Oh.
None for you.
He's the famous bottom of the tent.
All in all, a wee bit flat this week. I felt like the challenges really set the Bakers up to fail, which meant there was never really going to be an iconic episode.
Well, to lift the mood, how about we introduce our new segment, Michael?
Hey.
It's our first weekly taste test, where we hear from you, the soggy bottoms of the world, about your most unpopular food opinions.
Yes, and this week's one comes from Fraser over on Instagram, and Fraser is insistent that, and I quote here, spaghetti is objectively the worst pasta.
Ooh, now we've all got 30 seconds or so while the ads play to argue with each other or ourselves about whether Fraser is correct or whether he deserved to be jailed. Ready? 5, 4.
We are not counting down, David. Play the ads.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
And we're back. Fraser, you are correct. No, you're nearly correct. The worst pasta is angel hair, which is like thin spaghetti. And I don't understand the point of it. It just dissolves.
Do you know that's actually Elena's favourite pasta?
Is it?
The vermicelli, the thinnest of the...
Yeah, but she'll want it to be black, like squid inky.
True. Actually, I disagree. I wonder if we're ever going to agree on these things. Spaghetti's my favourite pasta.
Why?
It's like...
What about like a fusilli, like the kind of like squiggly one?
I don't mind
that. Or like
that.
A fagliatelle. I meant to say tagliatelle. That's what me and my friends call each other.
A fagliatelle. I mean, we do love that one.
I love a fagliatelle.
I like all the stringy ones, though. Fagliatelle, linguine, spaghetti, maybe not the angel hair one. But I do like spaghetti. I think it's like slimy, it's slippery. I used to, when I was a kid, I used to hold one end, swallow it, so it went down my throat and then pull it back up again.
Just testing the gag reflex from a young age.
And I don't have a gag reflex, so it's good.
Famously. Well, I think Fraser is nearly correct, but you think Fraser should go to jail.
Yeah.
Great, cool. We'll move on. The first person this week is Kristen, who says, "Hello from America, specifically Chicago." Hello. "I've always wondered if there is a restroom in the tent. When there are very long challenges, do they allow a restroom break?"
Oh, she's so polite, isn't she? A restroom.
A toilet.
A toilet. There isn't a toilet in the tent. And not only do they allow you any time for it, it's quite far away.
So the toilet is like beside the manor house. This is when they're filming in Welford Park. But it's beside the manor house, like the toilet that tourists use when they visit. But you have to run across the field to get to it. So you have to kind of find and you've got quite a small bladder.
Each challenge I used to go about 3 times.
Yeah.
And you're just using up your time. My favourite one, I think it was in the semi-final, I came back from running to the toilet and the food producer's like, "What's that?" And I'd weed all down my apron. And I've not actually checked if you can see it on the TV, but it was quite a lot.
David!
I was just very... Because there's all kinds of cables to like negotiate and I was just trying to be really quick.
Didn't you change your apron?
No, I was in the middle of a challenge.
Christ.
We and all.
You are abhorrent.
Well, to be fair though, because we all wear the same clothes for 2 days, we all stink. It's not very nice.
Yeah, but not with actual urine. I remember Noel was like, "Once I need to go to the toilet," and he was like, "Oh, don't worry, I'll just stir this." And I was like, "No."
Never would you allow Noel to do your baking.
I think because Henry and I were often next to each other during the bakes. So I think I just got Henry to just like keep an eye. It was like the weird milk stirring one. Anyway, that's the answer, Kristen. Belle says, "What biscuit dough can I make now and then freeze for the holidays?"
That's interesting. They've said holidays like Americans, but then biscuit like British. So I'm presuming they're meaning like cookie biscuits, like our biscuits.
I don't think you can freeze like a biscuit's gone.
No. Just about any dough.
I do shortbread a bit differently to everybody else. My recipe is equal parts self-raising flour, corn flour, and plain flour. And say it's 100 grams of each of those. And then you double that, so 200 grams of butter. You just stir the flours together, melt the butter, put the butter in, stir it together, dough made. And then you can add whatever you do. Obviously, I add orange and cardamom, the two flavours
every time.
Of the best flavors of all time, but also like lemon and rosemary or whatever. But that base recipe for shortbread, you can freeze it easily and it's ready for the holidays.
Shortbread is a good one. I do like a spicy biscuit that I use for Christmas, and it's quite nice because I make some Christmas biscuits and then I freeze
you
the rest
them.
Of the dough. Yeah, and then I can make some later because I always put them on the tree and then eat them, so I can make some more. But I know a lot of people make them into balls already, don't they, and then freeze them, so you can just literally put them on a baking tray. Basically any dough.
Any dough. There you are. This next one is from Arno. Arnold?
I'm not going to try and do that on a French. It's the French way of saying Arnold, isn't it?
Arnaud.
Let's go with that.
Hello, Arnaud. They say, "I don't believe I've come to a closure with the croissant. Croissant. Date.
Croissant gate.
Croissant. Croissant.
We're butchering the French accent there, aren't we?
I nearly dropped my croissant. Have you seen that? No, you wouldn't know that's culture. The croissant gate. I just had a nightmare about it, which prompted some research. A nightmare. I'm so sorry. Arno. In Swiss Germany, a croissant, which is called a Gipfeli. Oh my word, this is awful. I'm so sorry to Europe. This is almost worse than Mexico Gate.
It's worse than Brexit.
In Swiss Germany, a croissant is actually nothing more than the Swiss version of a croissant. So the difference to his siblings from France is that Swiss croissants are curved instead of straight and contain less butter, which means they're more savoury, whereas French croissants can be quite sweet or appear sweet. So in short, Arnaud is saying that croissants are savoury, and let's stop this insane misconception that croissants are sweet. My argument is, and it has always been, that croissants are savoury. It's all about their filling.
See, I've changed this now. I think we should stop going with the binary here. People need to stop thinking of this binary thing. They're not sweet or savoury. They're just a different thing.
That's spoken like someone who's realized they're wrong.
No, they're not anything. They're just depending on, you can put savory things in them, you can put sweet things in them. They're just a thing.
The next one is a serious one from Ez. So Ez recently got close-ish to somebody who describes himself as gay, but we're both youngish queers who use gay as an umbrella term. I, Ez, I'm an AFAB genderless person. AFAB means assigned female at birth that people aren't aware. And he is a trans guy. I think, okay, I know that I want to get closer to him, maybe even date him. But if he identifies as gay, as in man loving a man, and I only identify sometimes as male, then I don't think I really have a chance. Any advice?
Ooh.
That's quite a deep one.
That is a deep one.
But I also feel like, so I recently changed my apps to queer rather than gay, because I think gay has been started to be used as like an umbrella term to kind of cover many other different things. But I think personally, my view is, and this could be different for various different people, but gay is quite a limiting phrase because it kind of says, well, I'm attracted to men, but I'm not only attracted to men. I could be attracted to a non-binary person who isn't a man, and therefore queer to me broadens that spectrum, if that makes sense.
I'm exactly the same as you. For a long time, I've accepted if someone's called me gay, but actually I've always called myself queer,
right,
for exactly the same reason, because I definitely am attracted to people who are non-binary. I'm attracted to whoever I want to be attracted to.
Right.
And so I think by, I've always, like having the labels for sexuality in particular were really good to fight the fight. But we're at a point now where there's so many labels, because really, we are all individual. It should just be, you can be who you want to be. You can find whoever you want to find attractive. And so I find queer as a nice catch-all term.
But also, you can use whatever words you identify with the most. And like for some people, queer is quite an abrasive term because it was used to really denigrate them in the streets. In the streets. But like it has been a really awful thing for people. So like it does, language is important and it's also very personal. But because of that, I would say to Ez, speak to this person and be like, look, I think I'm developing romantic feelings for you. My sexuality includes people like you. Does yours include people like me? How do we negotiate this? Because it could just be a language difference. But I think the most important thing really is to be quite open, surely, in that situation and be like, let's talk about this.
Yeah, I think always the best thing is to be honest, isn't it? But I can definitely see their hesitation, because sometimes when you open up about something like this, it can change a friendship. But my argument would be, you're not sorted in your head at this point anyway, because you're always thinking that you're attracted to them anyway. So I think it's definitely good to be honest.
Right, absolutely. They've also said, also, as a Drag Race obsessive, not a RuPaul fan though, I have to ask, any favourite drag artists? If so, who? My biggest one that I would say that people don't know about, it's one of my friends, but so I am biased. Their name is Her The Queen, H-E-R-R, The Queen, on Instagram. And they are so stupid and so funny. They did a mix recently of Carol Vorderman doing Countdown, but getting a number wrong, mixed with Avril Lavigne's Complicated, and it was so fucking good.
Do you know what? I definitely only really know the Drag Race queens, but I love following you on Instagram because you then let me see different people. Like, there's someone you posted this morning who looked like a pink dildo. Who was that?
They were not a pink dildo. It was they were dressed as like a yassified version of Patrick the Starfish from SpongeBob.
Oh, from
SquarePants.
SpongeBob. Oh, wow. I'm going to look at that again.
They're a drag queen called Olivia Laugh Love.
And I love their name as well.
Yeah, short for Live Laugh Love. So Olivia Laugh Love, look up on Instagram. And also, I must shout out to Flesh and Bones. On Instagram, it's at It's Just Bones and at Feel the Flesh. They're also iconic.
And plus, can we just say, for Michael and I, when we do our Drag Race reviews, we don't always agree on a lot of things. One thing we will agree is Jinx Monsoon is the queen.
The queen of all queens. Let's get her on Sticky Bun Boys in the future, please.
Oh, please.
Please. Well, would you believe that's that for another week? Thank you so much for listening and for all of your brilliant questions, messages, and stories. If you want to send in your own very unpopular food opinion for our taste test, or if you've got a brilliant dating story or a baking question, pop them to us in a DM on social media at StickyBunBoys or email us at StickyBunBoys@gmail.com.
As ever, you can get extra behind-the-scenes content and gossip about Bake Off, as well as recipes and special guests over on our OnlyFans at patreon.com/StickyBunBoys. And if that wasn't enough, Michael, we think it's about time to explain what's going to happen at the end of this series of Bake Off. in just 3 weeks' time.
3 weeks. Yes, we will be keeping your buns nice and sticky for quite a while yet. So starting from the end of November, we're going to start a much-requested watch-along of last year's series of Bake Off.
Ooh, plus we'll continue to taste test and dive into our bulging inbox each week and every week. I'm excited.
So you should be. It was at least 50% your idea.
Right, well, we'll actually go now. Go tell your friends to subscribe and review us if you haven't already.
And if you haven't done it yourself, why? Shame on you.
What a nice way to make our listeners feel valid.
I meant it in like a sexy, scolding way.
Worked for me. Ready for the boring bit? Let's go.
The Sticky Bun Boys are not endorsed by or affiliated with Love Productions, The Great British Bake Off, or any of its subsidiaries. All views and opinions are our own.
The Great British Bake Off and all related content are registered trademarks and copyrights of their respective trademark and copyright holders.
Very professional, David.
In one breath.
We're all just having a bit of fun, aren't we?
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns. Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.